Good evening, Internet. Welcome to yet another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. Chad, Andy, and Brett here with you once again. I'm a little raspy, but well, maybe that means that everybody else will be able to talk a little bit more. Say hey, boys.
Hey, boys.
Hey, boys. He's very literal tonight. That's good. Andy, you're live?
Sorry?
I said, are you alive?
Am I alive? Yeah. Yes, I am.
Excellent. Good talk. Oh, man. Listen, first and foremost, we want to thank you for coming along this journey. And again, you can go back and check out all the old episodes if you would like to on any podcatching device of your choice. This is the No Excuses podcast, where we try and bring real talk to matters of disability with no excuses. And tonight, we're going to sort of be all over the place. But I want to start by acknowledging what today is in the history of our podcast. I can't believe that I'm saying that as it's as if it's such a momentous thing. But Facebook, of all things, told me that today is the one-year anniversary of Brett's first appearance on the show. Speaking of old episodes, you want to go back and check that out. The very first time we had Brett on, he was about as real as it gets and as transparent as it gets, talking about some of his struggles and all that he's overcome. And so a year ago today has passed. Brett, has it felt like you've been a part of this team for a whole year?
You know, I'm just surprised that, A, I've survived this long, and B, B, Andy and I haven't killed each other yet, and C, you haven't, either of you haven't told me that I'm not welcome anymore.
Oh, you haven't worn out your welcome yet, buddy. Keep trying.
I'll work on it tonight.
I know you said we haven't killed each other, but I honestly like when people don't agree with me, as long as they're not just doing it to be stupid. Like, if you bring up valid points, yeah, we can disagree all day. I mean, my point might be right, yours might be right. It doesn't matter. I like healthy debate. Listen, gentlemen, we have quite a few things to get to today. Beyond Brett's anniversary of being on the show, we talked a little bit last week. Brett jumped back in his sledge again for the first time in about half a century. So you had your first game, and you're still allowed to talk about it, so that's a good thing. How you feeling?
You know what? I feel pretty good physically, mentally, emotionally.
You're just covering all your bases.
Yeah, no, we so – here's the thing, and I mean, we're full of transparency here on the No Excuses podcast, which is great. So I have no problems talking to anybody about this. They know how to get a hold of me if they want to, or if they hear something they don't like. But so I decided to come back to play hockey this year. I was encouraged to play in the non-contact division. And for everybody that's listening that's able-bodied, I would suggest that it's probably an awful lot like beer league. There is incidental contact. It does occur. It's just not – the first thing you're supposed to think about when you go into the corner. The puck is the first thing you're supposed to be thinking about. So that happened, and it was fun, and we played at the old Peterborough Memorial Auditorium. That's where the Peterborough Petes play, and for people that know me, I geek out on stuff like that. I thought it was pretty special.
I actually saw on your social media there, Bretzky, that you posted a picture of the bus, right? You geek out that much that you're like, look, it's the team bus. Took a picture.
Yeah, I'm a little anal that way. I think growing up, I was that kid that always wanted to play different levels of able-bodied hockey, even though I realized at a young age it wasn't going to happen. So I started shifting my attention to stupid little things that I could geek out on. Old hockey arenas, stupid little buses that cost more than I could ever afford.
I was going to say, they're not little buses.
Well, I mean, it's not the short bus that the three of us rode to school, but.
So we've talked a little about it. I'm a fitness trainer, and one of my clients is a sledge hockey player. He wants to just go as far as he can playing sledge hockey, right? So he's been trying to get me on the ice since we started training, and I just kept telling him no. But I told him, hey, my buddy Brett is actually playing this year. And so he was asking me, where is he playing? What team, what division, all that stuff. So I said to him, man, I'm not sure, but I think he's playing. Well, I said for sure he's playing for Mississauga because I knew that much. But I'm not sure. I think he's playing non-contact. And my client says, oh, just let him know. Like, I'm coming for him. And so
there's already been a hit put out for you there, Brett. That's awesome.
Yeah. So what you're trying to tell me is that the person that you're training, who's probably 12 or 13, is gunning for me.
He's 14, but yes.
Fantastic. I am so scared that a high school kid is going to come after me.
So the transition back on the ice has been good there, Bretzky. Yes. You said physically, emotionally, mentally, all good. Keeping up.
It hasn't been bad.
That's good, man. That's good.
I wouldn't say that it's top notch, but
yeah, but I don't even want to think. I've been out of the game. Why I quit when my daughter was born. So I've been out of the game 9 years. And I don't even want to think how bad I would be if I got back on the ice right now without any training. Did you train prior to or get yourself ready at all? Or was it just jumping in and go?
I'm a barrel. Yeah. So that would be no.
Okay. Yeah. See, it would not be pretty. I guarantee you it would not be pretty if I was to jump back on the ice right now. I would not be happy with myself. Listen, it's a busy weekend coming. Halloween is on its way. Andy, you're a father of two. So I know that you guys are probably, I would imagine, although your guys are young, but I would imagine you got costumes all picked out for your girls.
Yeah, man, it's pretty cool. I was never a big Halloween guy just because not until my adult life was I level-headed enough, let's be polite, to start using a wheelchair. So as a kid, I was just, for Halloween, I would do like half a block and be like, hey, let's go home because I can't go any further, right? So I never understood that. The appeal of Halloween, just because my mobility issues limited to how far I could go. So I'm not gonna say I didn't understand the appeal of Halloween. Like, what kid doesn't like candy? But the effort to reward just wasn't there for me, right? So.
Well, and yeah, and I mean, let's be real and transparent, because that's what we do here on the No Excuses podcast. Trick-or-treating has its fair share of challenges when it comes to accessibility. You don't see many houses with ramps. What did your trick-or-treating experience look like as a kid, Brett, or was it existent? I know for me, and as a wheelchair user, although I didn't start really using my wheelchair until about high school primarily, and by then I was out of the trick-or-treating game. Prior to that, much like Andy, I would do some walking around, some trick-or-treating, and kind of gas out pretty early. When I was using my chair to trick-or-treat, it's these weird sort of situations where your parent or whoever's trick-or-treating with you is going up to the door to knock for you because you can't get to the door. Anyways, what did trick-or-treating look like for you, Bretzky?
Yeah, I think as I got older and my condition progressed, me into my wheelchair, it became less fun, which is fine. I mean, I'm lucky in the fact that I didn't have to use my wheelchair nearly as much when I was younger, and the appeal of Halloween really should be, or is primarily geared towards younger generation. I see all these posts on Facebook where people say, well, if a kid in high school comes up to your door, don't be a jackass and just hand him candy because you don't know his circumstance and yada, yada, yada. And that's fair. But there's a lot of kids out there that are in their late teens that are just going door to door dressed as the perennial bum on the street just because they know they can get away with getting half a pound of candy on October 31st.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's something to be said about those kids that grab the dollar store mask and the pillowcase and kind of, I don't want to say ruin it for the littler guys. I think everything has changed now, obviously, since being a parent too. And Andy, I don't know what that looks like for you when you're out with your kids trick-or-treating. I mean, my guys are a little older, so my blessing now is that I'm able to accompany my kids trick-or-treating, kind of wait at the base of the stairs, and the kids go up the stairs, knock on the door, trick-or-treat, and come back down, and I might wave at the person who comes out of the door. But yeah, I mean, my kids are pretty self-sufficient now, so they're able to walk up and down the stairs themselves, and Daddy kind of just waits at the bottom. So I don't know, what does it look like for you with Maya and obviously now with Maisie?
Well, I mean, it's funny you mentioned the internet, Brett. Like, if teenagers, whatever, like, you can throw anything up on the internet, right? But Maya's first real trick-or-treating experience was last Halloween, I guess. And like, as a parent, I'm the first one to say I don't have everything right. Chad, you can download this and just loop it. I'm not always right, but
so he gave me permission for that, for a soundbite.
Yeah, man, you can do it. But it's funny how cliches are cliches for a reason, right? And as a parent, you preach to your kids, don't talk to strangers, and whatever. But Halloween, you're going door to door to strangers' houses, right? So watching Maya the first couple houses, she was a little confused as the fact that you knock on a door and somebody that she's never met before gives her candy, right? Like, am I actually supposed to take this?
Is this allowed? Yeah, that's cute.
But this year, she's in daycare. And she's starting to get stuff now. They've been talking about it for the last couple weeks. Amanda's a huge fan of Halloween, so she's got like 14 costumes picked out based on weather, raining, snowing, puddles.
She's got all the bases covered.
Yeah. I think Maya could do anything from a snowflake to every single one of the Disney princesses. I have no idea, but so yeah, it'll be fun.
I've got a onesie in my closet that I actually just remembered I have.
I don't want to know why you have a onesie.
Yeah,
because
I'll take that one. I do want to know why you have a onesie.
Yeah. No. This is actually it's a pretty well, it's not a unique story. Once you listen to it, you're going to tell me that I'm typical. So, a few years ago, there was this girl that came to play hockey with us, and she's not a girl, she's a woman. She's probably only 2 or 3 years younger than me. And she was gorgeous, and I wanted to get to know her and realized that she lived around the corner from my parent, or yeah, from where I am. And so I got to know her a little bit, and we hung out off and on. And so one Halloween she called me and said, we're just going to be at my house for beers, but you got to bring a costume. So I went to Giant Tiger and I bought a penguin onesie, and I wore the penguin onesie over to her house.
Yeah, but that's not good because you can walk and waddle. Like, Andy would be a much better penguin onesie because he's got the swagger, the waddle down.
That's actually a true statement. I don't think there would be a better Halloween costume for me.
Okay, so, I mean, that was a very natural segue. I know that I have, Brett. Have you ever used your chair in your costume as an adult, as a child, whatever the case may be? Have you ever done anything to sort of incorporate? great. Yes. I mean, Facebook is full of stuff, and my friends are always tagging me with these great parents that have these awesome ideas for their kids and their Halloween costumes. Their kids with wheelchairs and stuff, they build these, you know, Bob the Builder forklifts and ambulances and things like that around the wheelchairs. Amazing stuff. But anyways, what did it look like for you? Did you ever incorporate your chair into your costume?
My coworker got married on Halloween one year, and in order to be invited to the wedding, you had to promise to wear a costume to the wedding. And so I was struggling to figure out what I could go to his stupid wedding as. And so I decided that I was just going to be lazy, and I decided to go as Officer Joe Swanson from Family Guy.
Excellent. Love it.
So what does that entail for you?
How did you make yourself look like Joe?
You just get a blue shirt
and a
badge from the dollar store, or what?
I didn't even have the badge. I had a gray golf shirt and a blue pair of pants.
Yeah, you were casual Joe Swanson.
I was casual Joe Swanson, yeah. And that's fine. Like, I didn't even really want to do it, but I kind of wanted to support them at their wedding. And
so you just went to the wedding looking like you were going to fucking play golf. That's amazing.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was a business casual wedding. Like, Brett's just like,
yeah,
he's just hanging out. Guys, this is my costume. Is that your most creative wheelchair costume? Because I think I might have you beat.
Yeah, I don't know. Up until this year, I have a plan for this year, and I'm just handing out candy this year.
Oh, but you don't want to share it? Do you want to keep it a secret?
No, I can share it with you.
Okay, go ahead. Share it with not just me, but the entire internet.
I'm planning on handing out candy as Lieutenant Dan Taylor.
Mm. Lieutenant Dan, you got new legs.
Yeah, well, no. I will not have legs whatsoever come Thursday night.
You're going to amputate yourself?
I am not going to amputate myself.
Yeah, like, Brett, we're getting to the point where I'm ready to almost tell you I love you, man. I don't want you to cut your legs off. I feel like
No.
I mean, I know you won't feel it, but you'll probably bleed out. It's not good.
I've been researching this. I've been researching this for a bit, and I figured out a way to make it look like I don't have legs and actually not amputate.
Oh, well, phew, that's good. That's a relief.
Yeah, so.
That's amazing. Okay, well, I'll throw it out there. I think I don't know if it's most creative, but certainly my funniest one that got the best reaction. Maybe I'll try it again this year because I haven't done it since I've been a high school teacher, and I feel like it's much more high school sense of humor. When I was an elementary school teacher, I wore black pants and I got a black t-shirt and I cut the t-shirt up and I laced it like a skate with hockey laces. And I just called myself a roller skate all day. The staff thought it was hilarious. The kids didn't get it at all because they were like kindergarten to grade eight, so they didn't know what a roller skate is. I'm fairly certain my high school students still won't know what a roller skate is, but it's been a couple of years since I busted that one out. Maybe I'll do that one. That's one of my favorites. I've also done the Professor X costume, which is basically just a suit and a bald cap. You know, the chair is...
You both have been a pylon. I've seen that.
I have done that, yeah. So my last name is P-I-L-O-N, and more often than not, especially when I was supply teaching, I would get called Mr. Pylon. So I decided a couple of years ago to actually be Mr. Pylon. That was a very simple costume. Didn't necessarily include the chair, but just orange everything, including strapping a pylon, an actual pylon, to my head and wearing it as a hat. Calling myself Mr. Pylon. But yeah, certainly I think my best costume that incorporated the chair was either Professor X, which is very simple, or the roller skate costume, which nobody got except the adults.
Right. Listen, I have a question. Going back to the days when we actually trick-or-treated, did you guys incorporate your crutches at all? Or were you... Let's say, were you Batman with crutches?
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't. Sorry, I was just waiting for you there, Brad. I didn't, I don't think I ever had a costume that incorporated the crutches. I had a lot of weird costumes, great costumes. One year, Brett, you'd appreciate this. One year, I decided to be the Ultimate Warrior in the height of his, in the height of his popularity. But in that case, I was the disabled Ultimate Warrior because I still had my, I was the cerebral palsy Ultimate Warrior with crutches. But yeah, no, I never incorporated the crutches into the costume. That would be too smart.
I think going back to when I was like 13, 14, 15, 16, when I was only using a cane at the time, one cane, I may have gone out as a pimp.
Well, I mean, that one writes itself.
Yeah. So you know what? Yes, I can say that I used.
Yes, you incorporated the props. Well done.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, once we're done recording here, Brett, I want you to go like find your lovely mother and dig out those photos and send them to us in that group chat that we have.
No. We stopped taking photos when I wised up to the fact that photos is forever.
Yeah, so there are no photos of Brett the Pimp?
No.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Andy, did you, I guess you didn't, geez, how would you incorporate your swagger into the, you would just have to go as a drunk guy.
No, I went as Terry Fox a few times. But...
That's amazing. My Halloween costume is Terry Fox.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, can we talk about Halloween in our part of the country too? You don't know if it's going to be 15 degrees or minus 15 degrees. Minus 15 might be a little extreme, but did you get like, so more often than not, you get dressed up in your costume that you, well, I don't know how you, for me, it took a day to think about what I wanted to be for Halloween, but I still had to put some thought into it. And then you get ready to go out. And my mom, at least, was like, you got to wear your winter coat. So what's the point of what's like when you go door to door, people are like, what are you? Oh, let me just unzip my jacket.
Halloween in Canada.
Right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
I've had memories like that. My aforementioned Ultimate Warrior costume was very warm because it was stuffed. Like I had a bunch of muscles that were built in because clearly they weren't real. So that was a warm one. That was a warm costume, but yeah. Hold on.
Let me, what are you? I'm a pond hockey player.
That's awesome. Oh, that's awesome. Andy, have you, I guess maybe not, because your guys are so little. And like you said, Maya's only had the one trick-or-treating experience. But I wonder if we can sort of speak to the inaccessibility experiences as a parent for trick-or-treating. But it sounds like Maya is Amanda with you and walking Maya up the stairs when she is sort of scared to knock on a stranger's door.
No, she will climb the stairs herself. She'll knock on the door. And then when she realizes she doesn't know the person at the other end of the door, that's when she kind of retreats. But no, Amanda's with her the whole time.
I would imagine too, you said last year was kind of her only real, like her first time going, right? Like, I mean, it's going to get easier because now the more she does it, the more she's like, oh wait, this is supposed to happen. I'm allowed to talk to these strangers who are going to give me candy. It is a little weird now that you, I don't think I've ever really thought about it that way. Let's train our children to take candy from strangers, you know?
Oh, you haven't seen those memes on the internet?
No, no, I don't look at a lot of memes.
No, I want to say, and I'm not exaggerating. I want to say Amanda had Maya in at least three costumes last year, maybe
four. During the same Halloween. During like the same year, she had four costumes.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Three, probably at least three, if not four. There was.
We're gonna start a GoFundMe to buy your kid Halloween costumes. They're not cheap, man.
Oh no, my wife's very frugal. She finds stuff on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, okay.
How long did you take your child trick or treating?
No, Brett. She had like a costume for my parents. It must have been four. She had a costume for my parents, a costume for Amanda's parents, a costume for actually trick-or-treating, and then a costume for daycare.
Okay. So, I thought you meant that she had an entire costume or four costumes for a 1 hour.
No, really, we only went to five houses, but she changed costumes.
I could sort of relate as the other parent, just because our guys have to usually prep two costumes. That's only because their school usually has restrictions about, you know, masks or blood or violent costumes or whatever the case may be. So usually they have, not that my guys always dress up in violent costumes, but they sometimes have had a costume for the actual night and a costume for the day at school. Last year, Caleb's costume was one of these inflatable ones that comes with a, like an air compressor inside the costume that basically looked like an alien was abducting him. It was this fantastic costume, but not very practical for school because you can't sit down when you're in this costume. So that's what he chose to trick or treat with, but not what he wore to school.
I feel like the progression of Halloween costumes is a whole nother episode.
Oh yeah.
I legitimately remember my dad being like, put your coat on, put your hockey jersey over top, and then your helmet. Your hockey
That's
player.
That's it.
Like,
writes itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, and now you're talking about air compressors inside.
Yeah, yeah. No, this one literally had, it had a compressor, battery powered compressor inside the costume to keep it inflated while you were in trick or treating.
It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's. That's Halloween for you. It'll no doubt have its adventures. And as Andy spoke to, it'll probably be insanely cold or insanely warm. We don't really know what's going to happen on the night of the 31st, but we'll figure it out. I want to throw it. And again, this isn't maybe the greatest segue, but I know that at least two of the three of us have some stories to tell around the vote, not politically speaking, but with our experience of trying to vote in the federal election that just passed us here in Canada. So who wants to go first?
I think, Brett, you had the most seamless experience, so we should probably start. Do we start with the good stuff or start with the...
Sure, yeah. Let's start with the guy that had the no problems, which I think was Brett.
I was in and out in 8 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely less time than I was there.
So, you get your voter card. It says your poll is accessible. You show up. You're in and out in 8 minutes. There's no issues, no nothing.
Yeah, but I have a funny feeling they knew that I was coming and that I would cause a fuss if I had to wait.
Or at least do a podcast about it a few days later.
Well, I mean, we were going to do a podcast either way, I'm sure.
Absolutely. So, Brett, you had a relatively easy experience. No problems. In and out. You went to the assigned spot on your voter card, went in, voted, and you were out in 8 minutes. Yes?
Yeah. And to be perfectly honest with you, I got there and I was in a good mood and I was cheery to whatever you call those people that were helping you out. And then I left and I was in a good mood. I don't know. I think maybe it was because I actually exercised my right to vote.
All right, Andy, you want to go next?
Yeah, so anybody that votes in this country knows, like, you get a voter card, tells you where to go. It will even go as far to tell you as your polling station is accessible. If your polling station is not accessible and you need an accessible one, it tells you the steps to take to get there. So anyways, my polling station's the same, whether it's municipal, federal, it doesn't matter. But as we have discussed before, like I will only use my chair occasionally. So Amanda wanted to go for a walk. So I was like, yeah, I'll jump in my chair. I'll go vote. But I knew that our polling station, it's not a big deal. It's just got one step to get up into the building, right? So I knew that. But I was also curious to know how I would get in my wheelchair because I hadn't done it before. And this is where my issue was.
Can we back up for a second? I just want to sort of be clear, just sort of to flesh it out for anybody that might be a wheelchair user that's listening or not. When you say a step to get up, do you mean there was a step and then the door or like a lip, like a raised lip to get into the building?
Like you needed to step up into the building.
Okay.
But again, the voter card said it was accessible.
Yeah, so, which is problematic because it's really not at that. Yeah, go ahead.
No. So that's not the issue. I knew, worst case scenario, I knew I could get my wheelchair into that building, right? Like it's just one step. So we're out front of the main entrance for the voting booth and people are coming out and I'm just there going like, okay, what's the next step? There's nobody here. So Amanda actually had to go in the building and ask somebody, and this is where it gets frustrating, is people were coming out and more than one person was like, if you're here to vote, do you want me to just lift you in to the entrance? And I had to be like, no, I kind of want to see how this plays out, not to be a dick, but I mean, they say it's accessible, so let's play it out. Yeah, right. Sure. And so Amanda goes in, nobody has an answer, and they were all super nice, but finally, and it wasn't long, being honest, it was about 5 minutes, and one of the attendants came out and said, okay, you have to go around to this door. I don't know how to get to that door from here to be able to open it. So I think the logistics were just horrible because nobody knew the answer. And my thing is, there's going to be people with accessibility needs. So if you advertise that your polling station is accessible, the people at the polling stations should at least know the procedure, right? Like that would be logical, I would think. And granted, we figured it out, and once I got in, it was pretty seamless, but the 20 minutes to get me to the proper entrance and then through to the polling station was a little bit unnecessary, I'll say. But so I'm not going to go as far to say as it was frustrating, but it was unnecessary.
So you did have to travel around the building to essentially to another entrance?
Yeah, and again, the people coming out of the main entrance were very helpful. The staff were very helpful, but nobody really knew until they had to figure it out, right? But I want to say it was 20 minutes to half hour that just didn't need to happen, right? So and in a sense, that's frustrating. Was I frustrated? No, because I'm used to it, right? But it just didn't need to happen. And I mean, anybody that watches the news or is on social media at all, you're trying to get people out to vote. I mean, so if I'm differently abled and I've never voted before, and I show up at a polling station that says they're accessible, and in honesty, they are, but it takes 20 extra minutes or half an hour that's not necessary, I could see how that would be frustrating, right?
Absolutely. Now. Yep, absolutely.
I just noticed something listening to you.
Okay.
What's that?
When you're very strong with your convictions, you sound very American.
Oh.
No. That sounded terrible. I'm sorry. That's definitely not. Man. Well,
no, but I mean, he is half American.
I know. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to him, and your accent didn't sound like you were from Canada. Oh man, you know what? We'll cut this. I'm sorry.
Nope. Keep it all.
My grandma has no idea how the internet works, but if I record that clip and play it to her on my phone, she will be very happy. I'll just say that.
As long as that you sound American, pissed off.
That's amazing.
So
that's amazing.
So my experience was mild, let's say, but Chad, I want to. Your experience was a step even beyond that, and so much so that I don't even know where I was Monday night. So by the time this hits the internet, it will have been a week ago. But I came home, and Amanda was like, "Chad's story was so big it made the news." So what
happened? Okay, so
Chad.
Yeah, so I mean, you said that to me. And that's news to me. You told me that by text that my story made the news, and I still haven't seen it. So did like a local news outlet pick up on it?
No. I came home and she was watching CTV. So
wow,
it wasn't even local.
Okay. Well, that's pretty awesome. I'm famous. I didn't see any cameras, but maybe they just referenced.
I don't know if it was you specifically, but
yeah,
the situation.
Well, here's what happened to me. I mentioned earlier that, you know, two-thirds of us had difficulties. Clearly, it wasn't Brett who was in and out in 8 minutes. Andy, I don't think my delay was even much longer than yours, but I probably had a more serious delay. Here's what happened. I went to my polling station again on the voter card. It said accessible. And in all fairness, it is an accessible venue because I've been there before. And this is not my first time voting. And I go there and vote during provincial elections, federal elections, whatever the case may be. It's a RHLI, like a Legion, sort of very close to my house. And so I left work. I got off my bus a couple stops later than I normally would to go home and went to my voting station, made a point of making sure I had my voter card with me at 6:45 a.m. when I left the house, knowing I was going to vote after work, showed up at my voting station to vote after work, went through the side entrance where the elevator is located to bring me up to the main floor of the Legion where the voting booths were, pressed the button for the elevator and waited. And it didn't work. I pressed the button again and waited, and it didn't work. And then a wonderful, dare I say, older lady came in through the door, and she said, "The elevator just stopped working." And I said, "Okay, so now what?" And she said, "Well, we've called somebody." I said, "Okay, great." As she was saying that to me, this other person walked in through the side entrance, and the side entrance of this particular Legion only has the elevator. There's nothing else other than the elevator to bring you to where everybody else would go. And as she's talking to me about how the elevator just went out of service, and she's literally about to say, "We've already made a call," as she's saying this, as this person walks in, she says, "We made a call to get it serviced." And she says, "I'm here. What's the problem?" And so now there's this dialogue between the voter staff person, lady, whatever their names are, and this elevator tech who had come to save the day. And she said, "It's just stopped working and it can't be paged and it's not moving." And so now this lady says, "Okay, just wait here." and they both say, "Just wait here." And I said, "Okay, so great." So they go in through the front door. And I just sit there and wait. And I can hear the person, the elevator tech, get into the elevator from upstairs. I hear keys jangling. I can hear the conversation happening as she's calling on her phone to her supervisor about how this works and how do I reset the elevator and this, that, and the other. And I'm sitting there and waiting for, I want to say, and I wish I would have timed it better, but I know for a fact it was at least 20 minutes that I'm just sitting there in this small little area where it's just basically an alcove with an elevator and nothing else sort of to look at or to do or anything. I'm just sitting there and waiting. And then the lady who was working for the election comes back and she says, "Is it working yet?" And I said, "Nope." And she said, "Okay, worst case scenario, we will bring the polling station down to you." And I said, "Okay, well, that's awesome. That's great. At least I can do what I came here to do, which is vote." Which, I mean, I'm not a very, you know, politically, I'm not hugely politically active, but I mean, for an election, I want to vote. And so, you know, I have a right to do that. And so that's great that they were going to let me do that. So she said, "Worst case scenario, we will bring the polling station down to you." And I said, "Okay, that's fine." And then she went back upstairs and I waited another 20 minutes. And so, for them to fix the elevator, which just didn't work. And a couple of times it crossed my mind to just leave. And I was like, no, I not only do I want to vote, but I want to prove a point that I have a right to do so. And so eventually, the voter staff lady girl came down for the second time and said, "Is it working yet?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Okay, I'm going to go right now. I have to come back with a colleague." So that basically they can, you know, there's two people there that they can supervise that everything is done right. She went back upstairs, grabbed said colleague, took my voter card, took my ID, came back with it, with my ballot and the little, folding cardboard thing to block the vote. And then basically I just voted right there. And then, they, you know, turned around and weren't looking, and she discreetly sort of took my voter card and brought it back up to the ballot box thing where they put it in. But all told, it probably took, from the time I arrived at the voting station to the time I left, it was almost close to an hour. So Brett, your 8 minutes is pretty awesome.
That's unacceptable and unnecessary, man. I'm glad you had the wherewithal to wait around for it, but
I mean, like I said, at least twice, three times it crossed my mind. I mean, I've got my kids literally waiting at home. My wife was working a 12-hour day shift, so she wasn't going to be home until 9 o'clock at night. She was going to miss her opportunity to vote. I just wanted to get home to my kids and start dinner. While I waited, I had to call them and make sure they were okay. And I mean, my son is going to be 12 soon. So I mean, they were fine on their own for a little bit, but certainly longer than I wanted to leave them alone, because it took me almost an hour to put a ballot in the box, which, you know, took you 8 minutes.
Yeah. And anybody that's listened to this podcast, we are far beyond the poor me dynamic, right? Like, that's not why we are doing this. But I think we want to speak to the fact that it's a federal election, and I would think that the staff would be trained to what to do in my situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
First of all. Second of all, you'd want to make sure the elevator's working, right? Like, oh, it's a federal election. Maybe, just possibly, we should make sure it's in good working order. Yeah, I get that it stopped that day, but there still has to be warning signs, right? Like, maybe get the elevator checked before the election. I don't know. Like, that just, maybe that's too logical. I don't know. Right?
Yeah, I'm glad you sort of went there first, Andy, in sort of saying, like, this is not, and I'm so glad you said it, this is not a poor me moment. I don't really care, honestly, that it took me like almost an hour to vote. It's not a, oh no, look what I had to endure. Because I mean, I sat there on my phone and friggin' texted my kids and called my kids. Like, I mean, you know, it wasn't about the, oh no, poor him and the suffering. Like, that's not what it's about. And that's not what this podcast is about. And frankly, that shit pisses me off when we have those poor me moments. I'm like, get over it and find a way to adapt and to do life, whatever that looks like for you. And that's one of the sort of the visions of this podcast from the beginning, is just being able to overcome in spite of life's challenges. So it's not a poor me moment, but it is a what if moment. I mean, in the time that I was sitting there waiting, there wasn't any other wheelchairs, but there were a couple elderly, again, it was a Legion, right? So there was a couple elderly people who came with walkers, canes, that I had to tell that the elevator wasn't working. And they went to the front door and went up the steps. I mean, I was by myself. If I would have had my wife with me, somebody with me, I probably would have said, screw it, because I wasn't going to leave. I probably just would have said, screw it. Let's go to the front door. I will get myself in the front door. I will get out of my chair and go up the four steps it takes to get upstairs, and somebody can carry my chair up. Because I was by myself, that wasn't an option. And so, yeah, I was determined to not leave. It just kind of sucked that I had to wait an hour to vote.
Yeah, man. And I mean, again, I feel like we're all over the map today. This is not a poor me podcast, nor is it I want to pump my own tires. But for all those people that are in the middle, that are just like, forget it, I'm not going to vote because I can't use the elevator. Like, that sucks, right? Like, and again, it's not, you're not voting for Reader's Choice Award, right? It's a federal election. You think they would have their ducks in a row. Like, it's frustrating. And I probably would be frustrated if it wasn't common, right? That is what I think the podcast is about. Like, wake up, people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you two and myself, we'll find a way to get around things, but there are people that legitimately need to use elevators or legitimately can't get up that one step, right? So what did they do? And that sucks.
Yeah, I can't speak to what happened after I left. I don't know how long the elevator took to get working, or if it even came back online that day. Again, like you just said, I have to wonder how many people just missed the opportunity to vote. I could have easily left and said, one vote doesn't make a difference. And again, it wasn't even for me about my one vote. It was I even sent the Facebook post. I made a Facebook post or a tweet about it and literally used the hashtag no excuses in a double entendre, obviously to try to drum up some interest for the podcast, but to say, you know what, I'm sitting here waiting an hour to do something that takes some 3-4 minutes to do, just because, right? So who knows, man? I don't know what the solution is, and I don't know if you're listening, what your experience was, or if you had a sort of, but I wasn't about to turn around and just go home. I could have, and it was just, I'm stubborn, maybe to a fault. And so it became about proving a point and staying there as long as it took.
So what's your point though? I have every right as every other Canadian to vote. Like, that's, you shouldn't have to do that. Yeah. You know what I mean? One thing you said that would kind of caught my attention was, I don't know what the answer is. I think the answer is pretty simple, is Election Canada, whoever that is, whatever that governing body is, get your shit together. Like, it's not hard, right? Like, take an extra 5 minutes. It show your staff what to do. If somebody with accessibility issues shows up to vote, like, if you're going to go as far as to say your polling station is accessible, make sure your staff knows, right? And in your case, Chad, the wheelchair going out is a little bit, the elevator going out is a little bit of an unforeseen thing. But again, I would think that you would make sure it's in working order.
Yeah, I don't know. There was, I mean, she was there. She was trying to do her thing, but they couldn't get it working. So, you know, after what was almost an hour. It was almost an hour between the time I got there and the time I left. So that was a pretty big pain in the butt. And like Andy was saying, I think it speaks to a bigger problem that we got to kind of get our stuff together and make sure we train for these type of situations, right? Because, I mean, the rest of it, you know, for the quote-unquote normal people or able people is pretty simple. So maybe we have to train for those situations of what happens if, right? And it shouldn't take Andy even 20 minutes to have to go to another entrance, let alone me almost an hour because an elevator breaks, which is obviously that's a big deal. And I don't know, as I said earlier, how many more people had problems after I left. Like, what do? They just turn people away? Or they probably would have just repeated the situation where the next wheelchair they saw, or maybe if it was a wheelchair or a cane, or they would have asked if they were, that person was able to go up the stairs. And if not, then they just bring the polling station downstairs. But for me, it took a lot longer, probably just because I was the first. Who knows?
Yeah, so just to reiterate once again, the frustrating part was not that the main entrance was not accessible. I'm not naive enough to be that guy that everything has to be equal. If able-bodied people are going in this entrance, I have to too. That's not what was frustrating. It was that when I showed up in a wheelchair, the staff had no idea how to get me in to vote, yeah. Right?
Like, what do we do they now? Didn't know where to go.
Yeah, right. That's the frustrating part. Right.
Yeah, I see it. So, listen, I don't even think there's a need for. Usually, at this point in the podcast, we throw it to the offside, but I think we've covered it. I think Elections Canada is the offside for this week. And again, with all due respect, I think as Andy said earlier, they've got to figure out a way to get their act together in sort of realizing what to do if, right. And so, I don't feel there's a need to. To talk about another offside, because goodness knows enough stuff happens to us regularly that we can add one of those on another week. But I think Elections Canada this week is enough of an offside.
Bretzky, you got the tournament coming up. You want to plug that?
Yeah, the Cruisers Cup is celebrating its 11th year. It starts Friday. I think we've actually got the first game. So Friday at 11:15, Brampton at the address is 500 Ray Lawson Boulevard. I can't remember for the life of me what the arena is called. Come out. You can find us on Facebook, Cruisers Sports. You can find us on the internet elsewhere, cruisers-sports.com. Yeah, it should be a really good weekend. Looking forward to it.
How many teams you got going, Brett?
Well, the Cruisers are sending four.
Listen, this goes out to the World Wide Web.
Yeah. Okay. So, how many teams are actually at the tournament? Typically, we've had roughly 30. We've usually had. Obviously, a bunch of teams from Ontario, some teams from the different parts of Canada, Montreal, a team from out west, Calgary or BC, a bunch of American teams we've had in the past, a team from Russia. We've actually had the Canadian women's sledge hockey team and the American women's sledge hockey team there once or twice. It's a really good hockey tournament. It's one of the highlights of my winter, when there's not very many nice highlights of my winter because it's pretty cold.
My only thing to say is wishing you luck, buddy. I wish I could catch you on the ice, but this weekend coming is absolutely rammed for me as I celebrate the birth of my firstborn, being 12 this weekend. So it's going to be a busy weekend for me. We've got he's decided to play paintball this weekend, so that's exciting. He's got his friend party playing paintball, and then we've got our family dinner on the Sunday. So this is a busy weekend, so I won't be able to show up and support Brett Wills with inappropriate signs. Well, we've covered a lot of material tonight, boys, and as always, it's been a slice. Thanks very much. If you are listening for the first time, where the heck have you been? And if you've been listening for the whole time, thank you. And for part of it, thanks anyways. And you can go back and listen to any old episode you want on any podcasting device of your choice, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, whatever your particular platform may be. We are celebrating the one-year anniversary of Brett being on the show, and I could say with absolute honesty and integrity and no excuses that the podcast has taken a whole new successful ride since Brett Wills has been a part of it. So, Brett, thanks for joining us on this journey. It's been interesting sort of watching this thing grow from an idea that Andy has had to now kind of just growing it. And so we appreciate you, man. Thanks very much.
Hey, gents, thanks so much for putting up with me for 1 year, and hopefully the next year is bigger and better. And Andy, sorry, not sorry for joining your podcast. I know it probably wasn't your idea, but yeah, it's been fun. Thanks again, guys.